This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, in for Terry Gross.
Ah, I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got a year.
James Brown is celebrating a birthday tomorrow, but we aren't sure which one. Some sources say he'll be 70, others say he'll be 75. We called our rock and roll historian, Ed Ward, who said he'd put his money on 75. But whatever his age, James Brown deserves a birthday salute. And we're saluting him by revisiting interviews with two former James Brown sidemen. In a few minutes, we'll hear a conversation with bass player Bootsy Collins. But let's get started with Maceo Parker, with whom Terry spoke in 1989. He's the best-known saxophonist to emerge from the Godfather of Soul's horn section and recorded this hit with James Brown in 1967.
First things James Brown told you about what he wanted from the horn section, what he wanted from you as a musician.
As the first thing, you know, had to do with the fact that I played baritone, and then when he heard me play baritone, he just said, "Okay, it seems like you can come up with, you know, your own part," because I would listen to what he would tell the other horn players to play, and then I start playing something without him telling me anything. I start playing something, and then it sounded okay, it sounded great, but if you're gonna go into how I actually start doing a solo thing, how that came about, the guy doing the solo had to take off for a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And it was a rumor as to, an uproar kind of a thing, is what we're going to do now. The guy who plays the solo can't work for 3 weeks. What are we going to do? Should we hire somebody? And I said, Mr. Brown, I can do that. I can play, you know, the sax solos. He said, well, I'll give you a chance. You know, I can, you know, I give you a chance. And I was playing solo ever since.
Baby, 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 I'm on a...
What did James Brown tell you that he expected from you on stage in the way, how you dressed, what kind of movements you did?
Well, I had been to a couple of shows. In fact, James Brown and his group was one of the people who I admired, you know, at the time. And I could tell that he was a little bit strict on dress and mood of character and all this kind of thing. And if you can notice and kind of jot down things about a group when you visit a group, you kind of sort of know and learn what they expect without the person actually telling you that. But once I got hired, or we got hired, you know, you got to be on time. You got to have your uniforms and stuff got to be intact. You got to have the bow tie. You can't come up without the bow tie. You can't come up without the cummerbund. Your shoes got to be, your patent leather shoes we wearing at the time. You got to be greased. You know, you just got to have this stuff. This is what I expect. And that was okay.
Did you get to, if you left the band, did you get to keep the costume?
No. No, he bought the costumes, he bought the shoes. And for some reason, if you decide to leave the group, please leave, my uniforms with somebody.
When James Brown started playing funk, he started putting the accent on the first beat. When did he start telling you about the one in his music and putting the emphasis on the one?
He always liked to have a heavy one. That's what he felt. That was his style. Gonna have a funky good time. That's where the one is, like right there.
Was it hard for you to pick up on that, or did it seem natural?
It was hard when I had to solo, in that I'm used to hearing the accented beat being on two. Like, if I would have done it, it would be gonna have a funky good time. Two and three and four. That's not normally how everybody was recording, and you could hear easily. I think their ear is easy to hear two and four, and that's where you clap. That's where the backbeat is normally.
Right.
You know, ting to tat, like that, two and four. But this was one. At first it was a little awkward. But we became used to it.
Hit it. How you feel, brother?
Feeling good.
You feel good?
Feeling good.
Play so much bone, brother. How you feel, man? Call your name. I don't want no people to know you're in here. How you feel, fella? Hey, Jam! Sure getting down. Look at him! Ha. We're gonna have a funk good time. 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 Let's take him up, Fred.
Is it hard work working for the hardest working man in show business?
It was hard, but it was rewarding and it was fun, because you know you're working with somebody who has this title, hardest working man in show business. That means you gotta do your part. You gotta keep up, and you never want him to say, "Hey, man, you know, if I can do 10, 15 splits a night, you know, at least you guys can do play the little vamp or whatever it is, you know, for 45 minutes."
Let's turn off the music. If we turn off the music, then he'll come along with us, right? Let's turn it off.
Fight it.
You guys still playing.
Still monkeying down.
Brother can't hear. Yo, I know what, man. Let's leave and let's close the door. Let's lock him inside. Then he'll leave.
You better know.
Come on, let's go. Close the door. Brother's still playing. Yo, man, I don't care. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's leave.
B-nut.
Yo, Jerry, turn off the light. Click.
Maceo Parker spoke with Terry Gross in 1989.